That's a hard one to do, but it's meant to remind us of what Jesus went through. And today, it gets attention all around the world. This weekend pulls millions of people into churches. And if they're not in churches, they're at least hearing about it. That this is Good Friday. Well, they want to remove it and just caught me. They want to remove it because they don't want to be reminded of it. So they call it spring break. We know it as Easter week. A holy time. A time that we celebrate not only Palm Sunday, but all through the week. We celebrate what Jesus did for us. And today, Jesus of Nazareth was born 33 years before this, in a most unusual way, gained the attention of only a handful of people. He lived an extraordinary life, healing and teaching and feeding thousands, and gained the attention of tens of thousands. He died in a most tragic way, on a cross meant for a criminal, and he gained the allegiance of countless millions. It's just amazing to see the effect of what Jesus did in his lifetime and then because of his death and resurrection. There have been others that have lived extraordinary lives. We know them. We've read about them in history books, and some even claim some great powers. None of them rose to life. But Jesus of Nazareth is different. You know, there's been a lot of articles. If you Google Good Friday or Google the cross, you'll find lots of articles and lots of arguments. Arguments about whether we should worship or celebrate Good Friday or talk about the cross at all. I have to disagree. And there's other articles, of course, that agree with my position that the cross is a very important part of who we are as Christians, and we need to not forget that. Scripture also indicates that, and I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 17:32 in your pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse 22. It says that the Jews demanded miraculous signs, and Greeks looked for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. You know, Paul puts it very plainly that we preach Christ crucified. That it's the power of God. That it's foolishness and a stumbling block to those out in the world who don't understand what we're talking about. Maybe yet to understand. We pray for them and we share the gospel with them as well, hoping that they will change and come to Christ. But it's a stumbling block because it's like we all look at the cross and think, why would you celebrate the death of an individual? Why would you talk about when we do communion on Sunday and Saturday night as well? But why would you celebrate the blood and the body of Christ? How morbid. How horrible. But we preach Christ crucified because it's the power of God for salvation. And I want us to go to Galatians to continue with that thought. Galatians chapter 6. And starting verse 14, I Sorry, I didn't get the page number, but if you go right after 1st and 2nd Corinthians, it's go eat popcorn. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, etc. So you got that? Good acrostic, go eat popcorn. All right? So it's the first one in the epistles, chapter 6. 1774. Good job. Thank you, my dear. She's on the ball. Even when I'm not. All right, verse 14, starting there, it says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation." What counts is new. "I glory in the cross. I boast in it. By death I received life." The cross is what shows us and symbolizes the death of Jesus, because it was His death that brought us eternal life. Well, why is the cross gaining so much attention, you know, the negative and the positive? Well, people, they just can't understand why a death would make a difference. And certainly anybody's death on the cross would not make a difference. If I went to the cross for the world, it wouldn't have made any difference at all. I would have died a horrible death, and it wouldn't have changed a thing. But it was Jesus' death on the cross. His death on the cross was what made the difference. And I want us to go to Romans chapter 5. I didn't get that page number. It's before the Corinthians. You're going to get to learn your Bibles without the page numbers, okay? That's the way it's going to be. 1750? 13 and 14. You guys are good. We should do Bible drills, you know, and have those. Who finds it first? Starting verse 6. Says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for this, for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His" what? "His blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" Jesus came to earth at just the right time. You know, you think about it, well, He could have came later on, maybe in the 1900s. Or maybe a little earlier than that, maybe in the 1800s, He could have came. But that wouldn't have done the same. He came at just the right moment, just at the right moment of time that would do what needed to be done. His life paid for our sins. It's an odd way to save us. You'd think, being God, He could say something like, "Well, you know, it's going to cost you $1 million. Well, you know, how about we'll send Jesus down there. He'll live to a ripe old age. He'll tell you everything that you need to know, and then you can be saved by what you do." But He didn't do it that way. God, the Creator of the universe, said that this is how it is. If you disobey and you fall into sin, the only way to be reconciled is through the death of part of me. Because remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. So Jesus, it says in Isaiah, it says that He said, "Here am I. I'm ready to go. I will die." Philippians also shares that. He left His glory behind. He came to earth and lived His life, and knowing full well He was going to die on a cross, because that was the only way that sin could be satisfied. It would have been great if he could have said, you know, just give you some stuff. Or whip me a few times and then that's enough. He paid the ultimate price. Pure blood was the only way to satisfy the penalty of sin. You know, if someone saves your life, saves you from certain death, you know, like floodwaters or earthquake and you're down in the crevice of some rock and it's closing in on you and somebody throws you a rope and pulls you out, you just say, see you later, man. Thanks for nothing. Walk away. No. You're going to be forever grateful for that person. Jesus saved us from eternal death, from separation from Him, from hell. He gives us the gift of eternal life. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Though we took no account of Him, though we could care less who He was or what He did, and I know if you're like me, before I knew Christ, I didn't care. I was living my life. I did what I wanted to do. Once I found out the situation, oh boy, was I glad that Jesus did what He did. His death paid it all. All we need to do is believe. But there is more. I want to run a clip. We didn't run it earlier, but I want to run this clip. He's going to run it up. If there's a movie that's playing, and we saw this movie, and I'm telling you what, it will shake you to the core. I want to go ahead and play it now. Yeah, if you want to applaud that one. We saw this movie and it is just a fantastic movie. You know, and that is the big question. He saved me from death. He saved me to eternal life. So the question is, what will I do for Him? What will I do for Him? And I think that is so important for us to answer that question within ourselves, between Him and us. What will we do? Because He paid it all, and we just believe, we trust Him, and He gives us everything. And so, I'd like us, as we consider and as we go through today and this weekend, as a matter of fact, that we remember Jesus died for you and me. And this next song is 252. It'll be up on the screen. We got three verses of it. Or two verses. I'm just going to end it at the 1 and 2. That's all I'm going to do, verses 1 and 2. Because the second verse says, "Dying for me, dying for me." There on the cross, he was dying for me. "Now in his death, my redemption I see, all because Jesus was dying for me." And we're going to end it with that, because Sunday we get to celebrate his resurrection. So let's all stand. We'll sing these two verses as we close.